I want to welcome everyone. We're no longer going to be an Upper Westchester ministry. We're no longer going to be a Lower Westchester ministry. We are headed toward being a United Westchester ministry. So, I know we're missing a lot of men. The Lower Westchester ministry has a men's retreat going on in Lake George, so I know we're missing a lot of men from Lower Westchester, but hey, I'm okay with just the women here. I'm fine with that. I just want you to know that. And of course, the Upper Westchester guys are here. I'm fine with that too. Right? I'm secure. Anybody here need any coaching? Anybody need any coaching? You know, there's different kinds of coaching. There's sports coaching. There's career coaching. Life coaching. There's business coaching, team coaching, performance coaching, skill coaching, orchestral coaching, painting coaching, coaching and writing, medical coaching, coaching for singers. There's even pain coaching. There are many, many forms of coaching, but there's one form of coaching we really need, and that is spiritual coaching. We're going to talk about Psalm, we're going to study through Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm. It's exegesis. We're going to pull out the meaning out of the 23rd Psalm. It's probably the most famous Psalm, quoted widely, but I believe that we need to spend some time just looking at the 23rd Psalm. But to set our minds on the spiritual coaching that the 23rd Psalm presents, I thought it would be important to look at an illustration from nature. We're going to see a very short video, about a 2-minute video, about marine iguanas and racer snakes. This is from the Galapagos Islands. If you have a heart condition, I just want to prepare you a bit. But what it is God has created in nature a lot of illustrations for us. And I believe that this is a really wonderful illustration of how we need to be coached, and especially when it comes to spiritual issues. So these poor little marine iguanas, they hatch on the beach of the Galapagos Islands. And once they hatch, they pop up out of the sand, innocent little iguanas. And, well, there's enemies around them. So let's watch this video and see what you get out of this.
A snake's eyes aren't very good, but they can detect movement. So if the hatchling keeps its nerve, it may just avoid detection.
Spiritual application? Yeah, we may not realize it, but we are surrounded by far greater dangers than what we even saw on this video. Those little marine iguana hatchlings come into life having to literally risk their life to protect themselves. And I tell you, we may not see it, but we're surrounded by all kinds of serpents trying to take us down. That is simply spiritual reality. Whether we know it or not, that is literally what is happening around us. So let's go to the 23rd Psalm. Can you imagine how good it would have been for those little iguanas to have been coached? Now look, what's going to happen is when you pop your head out of the sand, all these snakes are going to come after you. But this is the direction to go. This is how to handle it. This is how to avoid them. They had no coaching at all, other than maybe God having coached them through this. But the 23rd Psalm talks about God and Jesus being our shepherd. Let's read through this, and then we'll examine it more closely. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's go through this. Let's do some exegesis here. It starts, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. So why do we lack nothing? Why is David, the writer of this psalm, saying he lacks nothing? Because he has a shepherd. And not just any shepherd. He has the creator of the universe as his shepherd. The King of kings, the Lord of lords, is his shepherd. When you know that that's who your shepherd is, you lack nothing. But here's the deal. David chose to be coached. He chose to be shepherded. It's our choice whether we want this or not. We can say, I don't want to be shepherded. Look, I'm just going to handle the gauntlet of snakes on my own. Stay out. Or we can be smart and say, you know what? I think I need a shepherd. I don't think I can handle this life on my own wisdom. I want to pull in God as my shepherd. And that's what David did. He chose to be coached. And as a result, he's lacking nothing. He has everything a good sheep desires. In fact, he says the very next passage, he says, He makes me lie down, where? In green pastures. What do you think of that picture? Isn't that beautiful? It's not that God just leads him to the pasture. God does what? He's actually making him lie down in the green pasture. God desires the absolute best for you. He doesn't want something good. He wants the absolute best for your life. To take you to the best of places. And only a smart shepherd knows where those places are. A good shepherd will know exactly where to take his sheep. The problem with the sheep is the sheep don't know where to go. I grew up in rural Montana, agricultural community, and what we have to do with animals is we literally have to lead the animals to the best of pastures, because on their own they won't go there. They'll just stay in one place and overgraze. And overgrazing kills all the grass. So the good shepherd has to take his sheep or cattle to all the best places, because the animals themselves won't do it on their own. And so this is our God. This is who Jesus is. He looks for the best places for us and actually leads us there and makes us stay in those good places. Isn't that a great shepherd? Not only that, he leads me beside what? Quiet waters. The next verse there. He leads me beside quiet waters. Not these torrents of water that are dangerous, but he leads us to the best possible waters. Sheep need to be well fed and well watered. If sheep eat moldy hay and dirty water, they're not going to thrive. They're not going to do well. In fact, butchers will tell you, maybe not here in New York, but certainly in Montana, that the best lamb come from happy sheep. Does that make sense? If you want a really, really good lamb, I hate to say to eat because that's just so cruel, but let's say if you want to celebrate with your friends, have some really great lamb, how can I say it in that way? You want a happy sheep. It's not just any lamb that will make a good celebration. And so, not that we're on the table, we're not on the menu or anything, but we know what stress does to our life. We know that stress kills. Even medical professionals say stress kills us. We need quiet waters. We need to be happy sheep. But we don't know how to do that on our own. We're not omniscient. We don't know where to go. We don't know the best places to be. But God does. And He is the faithful shepherd. And He's going to lead you to exactly where you want to be, where you need to be the happiest sheep you can be. Isn't that awesome? God is an amazing shepherd. But of course, we're not talking about sheep and a literal shepherd. We're talking about God and David here in this psalm. David is writing about his relationship with God, that this is the kind of relationship David has with God. He trusts God. He sees all the good from God. He sees God just doing nothing but good for him. And he's led to these beautiful places. When we submit to Jesus being our Lord, guess what? We have everything we need. The choice is ours to get shepherded or to do it on our own. But when we choose to get shepherded and Jesus is our Lord and He calls the shots and He leads us to wherever He wants to go and we trust Him, okay, God, this is going to be an adventure. Where are you going to lead me today? Even if bad things happen, we know that God's in control. And we know it's going to be quiet waters that He's going to lead us to and green pastures. But sometimes, to get to the green pastures, you got to go through some pretty nasty places. That's just how it goes. But look at how He puts it after this. He leads me beside quiet waters. He what? Refreshes my soul. He's not refreshing your life in this passage. What is He refreshing? We can do a good job refreshing our circumstances, but we do a horrible job refreshing our souls. Because we didn't create the soul. We don't understand the soul. Only the Creator knows how to really be refreshed deep down inside. And again, that is God's desire for us, to be completely refreshed in soul, to get our soul back to the original soul that was created within us. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't God amazing that He just wants the best for us in every situation, the best pastures, the best water, refreshing our soul? He comes into our life as a shepherd and says, let me take over here for a while. I think I can do a better job than you're doing here. And when we trust Him on that, when we say, you're right, let me just surrender the white flag because I'm doing a lousy job with my life. God, you need to take over here. When we do that and He leads us to these places, what's our response? Wow! Thank you, God! I need your shepherding. I need your coaching. God does a much better job with my life than I do with my life. Absolutely. Look at how he goes on. He guides me along the right paths. He guides us to where? The right paths. Where do we guide us? To selfish paths. Well, what I want is I want this, and well, I want that, and today I want, and I'm tired of this, and I need a little of that. Don't leave me up here alone, please. I know we all think this way. What I need, and I better, and you know, come on here, let's do a little bargaining here, because I, you know, what about me? And we forget when God is our shepherd, He always takes us to the best places. But we're sheep. We're not the shepherd. There's a huge difference between the IQ of the shepherd and the IQ of the sheep. Are you with me here? And we are not the shepherd. We are the sheep. That's what the Bible is saying. There's a huge difference between God's wisdom and our wisdom. We were created not to lead ourselves. We were created to need a shepherd and to be shepherded. And when you do it God's way, it works. We get refreshed. We know this is exactly where I ought to be. But boy, do we forget. Probably every day. Probably every day. Because as Americans, we're just trained to be complainers. We are. We're trained to complain about everything. You know, the only thing that you can't do is you can't do it when you first see somebody. Hey, how are you doing? Great. You know, you can go into a complaint almost immediately after the greeting. You just can't do it with the greeting. How are you? I'm terrible. Now, sometimes you can if it's really a crisis. But the American way is to first be nice and then be a complainer. Watch. Do this at work. After the greeting, rather than complaining, be just really excited about something. And see what their face does. They don't know how to handle it. We're expert complainers and lousy, grateful people. And we need to flip-flop that. Because we are the light of a city on a hill cannot be. This little, don't it out. And that's where God wants to take us. God is the shepherd that's going to lead us to the most fulfilling life, the most happy life, the most joyful life, not without trouble, not without problems, but the most secure life possible. That's our God. He guides us. He guides us not just any path, but the right paths. He knows where the right paths are, and we don't. And how does He do it? For His name's sake. God can't help but lead us to the best places. That's what it says here. He leads us to the right paths for His name's sake. We need to be coached where to go. Because all the paths may look the same, but they lead to radically different places. You know, sheep don't even know when they're in danger. And this will shock you probably. But sheep can just sit there and graze while a wolf kills and eats another lamb. And we are being compared to... Do we even know when there's danger? We're just going on with our life and we have no idea what's going on around us. And the fact is we don't, because it's a spiritual war, not a physical war. The battles that are raging around us, you can't see them with your eyes or even detect them with your ears. But it doesn't mean they're not raging. They are. There are serpents all over the place, racing to devour us. And we're just on the beach having fun. But when Jesus is our shepherd, He goes, no, come on, let's go over here. Now let's turn over here. Let's no. Come on, trust me on that. No, trust me on this. Let's. And we know that we fight God on this. We know that because we believe. No. I know it. You know, if you're not in your Bible, you're left to your own devices. I'm sorry. If you're not in the Scripture, then all you've got is you. That's like the sheep without a shepherd. What's going to happen with a sheep wandering off into the world without a shepherd? What's out there? Wolves, lions, tigers, bears, serpents, and racer snakes. I mean, when I watched that for the first time, I thought I was in a horror movie. I thought, man, I've not even seen anything better from Hollywood. I mean, that was amazing, and that was God. And it's all a spiritual application. Sheep can literally fall off a cliff because they're eating and eating and eating and eating, and suddenly they just fall. Seriously. And the shepherd has to go and climb down and rescue them. So the shepherd has to be there to guide them away from the cliff, guide them away from the wolves, guide them away from the bad spots. But again, if you're not asking God to lead you, if you're not really submitting to God's leadership, then you're on your own. And chances are you've fallen off some cliffs already. Chances are some snakes have bitten you. Chances are some wolves have terrorized you. My suggestion? Get a shepherd. But not just any shepherd. Get the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the shepherd. We need guidance. We need guidance. Look at what he says next. Even though, I like that, even though, because he's painted this great picture, even though I walk through the darkest valley, so he's not saying, if I walk through, he's saying, even though I walk through, the dark valleys are not an if thing, they are a happening thing. Even though I walk through the darkest valleys, he could be walking through a dark valley as he wrote this. He could have been at one of his lowest points as he wrote this psalm, even. But even though I do that, I fear no evil. Why? Why does he say that? Again, we're teaching how to study the Bible here. Why does he say that? I fear no evil, for you are with me. He's being shepherded by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. David is in total security, no fear of wolves, because he's being led. He is not alone. And when we are being shepherded by God, we are not alone. Even though you are walking through the darkest places, you are not alone. God is with you. Jesus is in you, living through you. And yes, it is a life of faith, but it is reality. If you are a disciple of Jesus, you've got Jesus' power living in you, guiding you, giving the power to get out of circumstances like that so that you no longer fear. Yeah, evil will be right there with you, but you don't fear because the power in you is greater than the power in the world. Goes on to say, your rod and your staff comfort me. When we think of a rod and a staff, do we usually associate that with comfort? What do we usually associate a rod and a staff with? Discipline. Do we like that? Does that feel good? Does it sound good? So here's a shepherd with a rod and staff. Now, there's some purposes for this. What do you think the crook at the end is for? Because remember, sheep can just keep going until they just fall off a cliff. Sheep can just go up to a wolf. How are you? And we laugh, but that's who we are. That's what we're doing. We have been compared to sheep. And you're arguing with God right now. Oh, not me. I'm a little smarter than that. Ooh. That's the big P word, the big pride. When you think you're smarter and you don't need a shepherd. Oh, I'm mature now. It's like the little kids that go, I don't need help with my jacket. I can get this on myself. And they're figuring out their zipper and their buttons. And I can tie my own shoe. And I'm fine with that. But most of the time, mom or dad needs to help out. Are we just little kids arguing with God that we don't need Him? We don't read our Bible because we don't feel the need. We don't pray more because we don't sense the need. That's just pride. It's just saying you can handle it when you can't. We need God. We need protection. The rod is there to protect us from our enemies. The rod is there usually as a point on the end to jab coyotes or wolves or bears. The rod also, can whack enemy animals. The crook is there to grab a sheep and pull them back to safety, to grab their neck, grab their leg. In Montana, we used to have these crooks where it would have a wide opening here and then it would get really narrow and then bow here so that you could easily grab the leg of a sheep and pull the leg of a sheep, and the sheep would go like this to try to get out of it, because the sheep still think the cliff looks better than coming back to you. So you have to literally force the sheep back and kicking and kicking and kicking. And so you don't want a wide opening for the leg to get out. I'm probably saying more than I need to say. But do you get the point? We're the ones that are kicking. God is trying to lead us. He's trying to get us to go in a direction. We're like, getting our leg out there, get back. But when we do it God's way, we always say, thank God. Thank you, God. Isn't that right? We dare not trust ourselves. We need shepherds. We need to be shepherded. I mean, look at this next slide. What a nice sheep. What a cute sheep. Isn't that right? What a beautiful sheep. I want to be with that sheep. See, but the problem is that the expression is true. A wolf in a sheep's clothing, because the sheep don't see a wolf. They see a funny looking sheep. But to sheep, a funny looking sheep is still a sheep. And the great thing about sheep is they don't care if you're funny looking or not. You're still a sheep. It doesn't matter to them. But that's the danger we face every single day. We have so much danger out there we don't see. So much danger we don't recognize. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 says, "You have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son." When God is grabbing you by the leg, and even though you're kicking and screaming, it's for our own good. When he's disciplining us, it's for our good. When the rod and the staff are there getting us, it's for our own good. And that's how David puts it. Your rod and your staff, what? They terrorize me? What did he say? Your rod and your staff do what? They comfort us. They give us security, because if God didn't care, he would do nothing. When God's disciplining us, it shows us how much he loves us. That there's a much better place that you could be in spiritually if we just submit to his leadership, submit to his shepherding, submit to his coaching. Well, let's go on. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What's that? It's a blessing. He's blessing us more than the world. The world may not see it now, but they will at the end. The tragedy about when Jesus comes back and those, and it says the sheep will go up to heaven to be with him, and the goats will remain here. The problem is that there'll be so many shocked people. What do you mean I'm not going to heaven? But here's the deal about shepherding. God never forces the shepherding on us. And it would be cruel to force it on people on the last day. If you don't want to be shepherded by God here, why would you think that you're going to be happy by being shepherded by God there? It's just God giving you what you want. Now, his arms are always out. I mean, if you're here today and you're not right with God, his arms are out. He wants you. Come, get shepherded. His desire is that no sheep be lost. But if you refuse the shepherding, if you refuse the coaching, if you say no, he'll leave you be. But you're on your own. It says here that his desire is to prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemies. You anoint my head with oil. What is that about, anointing? What do you think of when you think of anointing? Kings were anointed. Isn't that beautiful that we've been chosen? Colossians 2:9 says, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and we've been given fullness in Christ. We've been chosen out of the world." Ephesians 1:3 says that he has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing.
chosen to be with Him, to have every blessing. No wonder He says, my cup overflows. He has everything, every spiritual blessing. Do we lack anything when we're being shepherded by Jesus? Nothing. And look at how He ends it. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Do you see in this security, positiveness? Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow, that is beautiful. What are the effects of being shepherded? Almost too many to count. Green pastures, quiet waters, intense security when we go through, and we will, and we probably are today, going through the darkest of valleys, we have confidence that we are being shepherded by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What are the benefits of being shepherded? We'll feel like our cup is overflowing with goodness, that we have everything we need all the days of our life. I'd say we all want that. Wouldn't you? We all want that. So it's going to take a decision on our part. And it's going to take a decision of humility. We are not smarter than the shepherd. We are not even as smart as the shepherd. We are not even close to being as smart as the shepherd. In fact, it is night and day. So it's going to take some humility on our part to say, you know what? I need a shepherd. But you know, we started the conversation by saying, hey, who here needs some coaching? Isn't that right? And there's life coaching and pain coaching and music coaching and sports coaching. And most of us have paid a lot of money for some coaching in our lives, haven't we? And now it's time to realize we need to take our spiritual lives to a different level here. That we've been too content by just making Jesus somebody in the room. And we need Him to literally coach us and shepherd us. David needed shepherding, didn't he? This psalm is David writing. Jesus needed shepherding. This psalm is not just about David. It is also about Jesus. And we don't have the time now because I want to end the message, but I would encourage you to go back later on this afternoon and reread this psalm in three ways. The first way is to reread it from the perspective of David and understanding David's relationship with the shepherd. The second way is to read the psalm from the perspective of Jesus and Jesus needing a shepherd. And then the third way is to read the psalm with you needing a shepherd. And remember, when you're getting shepherded, you become a happy sheep. When Jesus is your shepherd and you have surrendered to His lordship and His leadership, you become... Is there any fear in their eyes? Are they going to go through some tough places? Because sometimes to get to the best pastures, you got to go through the roughest places. But these are sheep that are happy. That's God's dream for all of us. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westchester Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit westchester.nyc.coc.net.